The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
Spiritual formation is being changed into the image of Christ. Exchanging my broken worldly ideas and values for Christ's values. And last week we looked at Dallas Willard's VIM method. And the VIM method is just an acronym for vision, intention, and means. Vision is the kind of person I should be. The kind of person God wants me to be. Intention is the decision to achieve that vision. And means are basically the tools and the steps that get us there. Last week, as Bob shared, he talked about the first one, vision. And he talked about the vision of being a disciple of Jesus. And so this week, I'm going to talk about intention and all that that means. And then next week, Bob will come back and talk about the means. How do we actually get there? You cannot become the kind of person that you are not becoming. Intention is the first step in becoming. Intention is enacting the will and deciding or choosing to become the right kind of person. You will never be like Jesus until you choose to do so. Jesus is not in the business of forcing people to become his disciples. We first have to choose, and then his grace will come and it'll follow and it'll help us get there. Today, I want to focus on are part of that process. The intending or the choosing. Dallas Willard says this. The idea that you can trust Christ and not intend to obey Him is an illusion generated by the prevalence of an unbelieving Christian culture. In fact, you can no more trust Jesus and not intend to obey Him then you could trust your doctor and your auto mechanic and not intend to follow their advice. If you do not intend to follow their advice, you simply don't trust them. Intention. We have to intend or decide to follow Jesus. So let's just step back and look at what that means. To intend to be Jesus' disciple is to decide to obey all that He has commanded. Now here's the big idea I want to get across this morning. To follow Jesus, you must intend to die. To follow Jesus, you must intend to die. See, the biggest obstacle that we face in walking with Jesus and becoming a person like Jesus is our own will. The part of us that makes up our heart, our spirit, is our will. So I want to just unpack this statement that I'm going to spend the rest of this morning trying to prove. First off, death in the Christian walk is giving up my desires. Giving up the things that I think and feel and believe. Kind of back to that idea of values. Death is exchanging my values for the values of Jesus. Death is a decision to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And obedience is just that. It's not just a decision to enter into the Christian life and then it stops there. Obedience is a decision to obey everything that the Bible talks about. All that Jesus talks about. Following Jesus starts with a decision to obey. And deciding to obey Jesus is to intend your own death. Choosing Jesus is choosing death. George Mueller is a man who learned what it meant to die. He's got some nice facial hair, doesn't he? George was born in 1805 in Prussia. And George's father was a revenue collector, so he was a pretty wealthy man. And he loved to just give George money. So as a young man, having plenty of dough, you can imagine what he tended to do with that. He had a good time. And spent many of his days going around with friends, carousing, partying, getting into trouble. And was not a moral man by any stretch of the imagination. And neither was George's dad, though. So it didn't really, you know, it worked out okay. Although George would lie and steal from his dad, too. And since money was kind of the focus of the Mueller household, George's father decided that it would be a good idea for George to go to school and to become a priest, a pastor. You're all kind of going, what? How does it line up? Well, you see, in the culture of the day, it was pretty lucrative to work for the state church. And so if you became a priest or whatever, like the way that you got paid was people had to rent their pew. So they had to pay you to come sit in church. And some of you guys are like, yeah, right, I'd never go to church. But it was also the idea that going to church or paying that price, you know, the church kind of held that up as that's what it meant to be a Christian. So when people think they're paying you for their salvation, they're willing to pay some dough. So if you're a priest, it's a pretty lucrative position. So he started going to school, continued in his life of sin, even though he was now learning to be a priest. And he would go out and travel around Europe and visit different places with his friends, and even got at one point, because he just developed this habit, this lifestyle of stealing and cheating. And so he would go to a hotel, real prestigious, and just have a good time, and then he'd leave without paying. Well, you do that a certain, you know, number of times, people are coming after you. And so eventually, of course, he got arrested and thrown in prison. And when he got home, his father was no longer quite as happy with him. So after he gave him a good beating, George decided, well, since Dad is funding my life, I better at least start behaving enough to be in good rapport with my father. And so he went to school and just started applying himself to it and got great grades and all of that. And basically started the outward appearance of living rightly. I want to read this quote from George kind of during this time. Now and then I felt I ought to become a different person. And I tried to amend my conduct, particularly when I went to the Lord's Supper, as I used to do twice every year with the other young men. The day previous to attending that ordinance, I used to refrain from certain things. And on the day itself, I was serious and also swore once or twice to God with the emblem of the broken body in my mouth, to become better, thinking that for the oath's sake, I should be induced to reform. But after one or two days were over, all was forgotten, and I was as bad as before. Isn't that a great picture of our own lives? What most of us experience? Of kind of entering into this Christian walk and really desiring to be a better person, desiring to be like Jesus. And we make these vows and these commitments, but pretty soon we're just back to the same old stuff. And I want to suggest that the reason that George was continuing to fail in his Christian walk, and when I say fail, I mean the idea that his life wasn't really changing. He still had guilt, still had shame. He wasn't becoming a different kind of person. Was that he still loved himself. He had not yet intended to die to himself. To follow Jesus, you must intend to die. And so my first point this morning is that if we love Jesus, we will obey Jesus. Those aren't separable. Let's look at John 14:15. You can open your Bibles, or I think it'll be on the screen. John 14:15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And then you skip down just a few verses to John 14:21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. See, those things aren't separable. Love equals obedience, and our obedience shows that we love. To be a Christian is to love and intend to obey Jesus. So if you're not intending this morning to obey all that the Scripture teaches, you simply are not a follower of Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting that we'll be perfect. But what I am suggesting is that we should intend or choose and act on our will to be so. And to start that process. See, for most of us, we kind of take a very passive approach to our spiritual walk and to our spiritual formation. We kind of realize that, hey, heaven is this thing in the future, it's out there. And that's when I'll be made perfect, but until I get to heaven, it's just, I can't achieve that. It's not something that I'm going to attain. And so we kind of just sit back and say, well, you know, maybe Jesus will change me a little bit here and there. But, yeah, that's just basically how I have to live my life, in just kind of this state of up and down and failure. I just want to suggest that when we do that, that we make the cross so small, that that's rubbish, that that's wrong thinking. It's not what the Bible teaches. That we should, in fact, now decide heaven. That right now, during this lifetime, we can start to live in a small way part of heaven, that we can start to taste the joy and the glory of that perfection. Now, we may not quite attain it in full, but we need to start living in what is to come rather than what is. We need to live in the truth of what will be. God wants to start that transformation process in our lives today. And that's where the joy of the Christian life is. We can start experiencing that heaven now. We don't have to wait. Bob talked, like I mentioned before last week, about the cost of discipleship versus non-discipleship. And he showed and just made it very clear that really, non-discipleship is much more costly. And we've all experienced that. That as we try to live in our own ideas and our own worldviews, that it might have been fun for a while, but it always ended in hurt, suffering, hurting those around us. That it wasn't really joy, that we never found fulfillment. But if you intend to choose to taste heaven, the rewards and the joy is unmeasurable. Let's get back to George. He finished up kind of, I don't know what they called it at that point, but high school or whatever it was. And he decided to go on to seminary and basically became a divinity student. And George, while there, he was actually, he got licensed to preach. I mean, he was a full-blown minister. But continued in his old ways. In fact, he met a friend named Beta that basically Beta was another guy who was just trying to drown out the conviction that he felt with partying and everything else. And so they continued on that journey together. But one day, Beta mentioned that he, on occasion, attended this house meeting where they studied the Bible and read scripture and sang and prayed. And George just had this feeling that he had to go. And so Beta, knowing George, didn't really think that that was something George would really like a whole lot. And so they argued back and forth, but eventually George got Beta to take him. And as he went there that night, God did something miraculous in his heart. And he realized that he had actually tasted a peace. That was what was really important. That's what he had been searching for his whole life. And so that night, God began the process of transformation in George Mueller's life. And he decided, as he started to grow, that he wanted to be a missionary. And so he started trying to achieve that. And joined a missions agency, and he was going to go to England to be a missionary to the Jewish people. George began to die to himself and follow Jesus at that point in his life. My second point this morning is that Scripture is clear. That Scripture calls us to obey, and that obedience leads to death. When we look throughout the whole of the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, as we look at how God interacted with the different people and their stories, every time God would take them through a process of dying to themselves and moving out into His mission. And so I want to start this morning by looking at a passage of the patriarch of Christianity that we hold up, Abraham. And so let's look in Genesis 12, verse 1. All right, Genesis 12, 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Jesus will always bring us to a point of decision where we have to give up on our desires and what we want and decide to follow Him. And again, that is always an active, not passive decision. God approached Abraham and called him to go. And Abraham made the decision to leave. He had to die to what he wanted, make an active decision, and go. When Christ calls you, He is always going to call you to leave, to go. Often it's painful. Often it's a wrenching experience. But on the other side is the joy of life, the joy of joining God in His mission. All right, now let's flip ahead to the New Testament, to Acts 1:8. Just two examples here, but we see this precedent continue in the New Testament with the early church. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will go. And as we know, the early church, those apostles, those disciples, didn't wait. They didn't sit around and wait for someone else to do it. As soon as they received the Holy Spirit, they started to go out and proclaim the message of Jesus. They went all around the world, and then beyond that to the ends of the world, to the ends of the earth, to the places that no one wanted to go. When Jesus calls you, He's going to call you to go to the ends of the earth, to give up the things in your life that you don't want to give up, to go to the places where you don't want to go. So how did this play out with George Mueller's life? Well, as he went to England, he worked with that missions agency for a while. And then as he continued to grow, they came to a point where he just decided that how they were doing things wasn't how he felt God was calling him to go. And so he broke away from that agency. And at some point during that process, he became very sick. And got to the point of almost death. He was on his deathbed, and as he lay there, not being able to move, he finally, for the first time, really started to engage with the person that he had been. Engage with the life of sin that he had lived. Now, he had already started the process of following Christ, but he hadn't yet went through a process of spiritual formation. And I want to read, as he lay there, he actually, it was amazing, he started to have more joy and more fulfillment than he had at any other time in his life. That is, he was almost ready to die because he repented and realized who he was and intended to follow Jesus and made that decision and gave completely himself to Jesus, he actually literally wanted to die. He desired death more than life because he had finally gotten to know the person of Jesus. And so he desired more than anything else to actually go home, to go to heaven, and to be with Jesus. But the Lord had other plans for George. And so I want to read this quote here. I became a believer in the Lord Jesus in the beginning of November 1825. Now 69 years and 8 months ago. For the first 4 years afterwards, it was for a good part in great weakness. But in July 1829, now 66 years since, it came with me to an entire and full surrender of heart. I gave myself fully to the Lord. Honors, pleasures, money, my physical powers, my mental powers, all were laid down at the feet of Jesus. I became a great lover of the Word of God. I found my all in God, and thus, in all my trials of a temporal and spiritual character, it has remained for 66 years. My faith is not merely exercised regarding temporal things, but regarding everything. Because I cleave to the Word, my knowledge of God and His Word is that which helps me. At that point, George became the pastor at Bethesda Chapel. And it was a small, just kind of starting out church. And as George came on there, immediately the church started to grow and to flourish. And throughout George's time there, the church expanded to almost 2,000 people. He also started an institute called the Scripture Knowledge Institution for Home and Abroad. And that institution did several things. They distributed Bibles. He distributed almost 2 million Bibles and other religious readings and texts. They became a school for adults and children to teach them the Word. And then maybe the most notable thing, maybe the thing that you've heard of George Mueller before, was orphanages. And they started huge orphanages in England there. They had 5 homes with 2,000 kids. Under his life, he cared for 10,000 children. And at that time, in all of England, there was only like a few thousand orphans being cared for. And so he started a movement in England to start caring for these dying and hurting kids. And they estimate that at the end of his life, he had led that measly few thousand to being over 100,000 kids being cared for throughout England. At age 70, when you think most people would be ready to retire and stop, George finally fulfilled his mission or his dream of becoming a missionary. And he went on a 17-year career throughout the world preaching. Went to 40-some countries and covered over 200,000 miles. Now, I remind you that this is before air travel. And so 200,000 miles at that time was absolutely incredible. He preached across the breadth and the width of the United States 3 times. But that's not what's impressive. That's not why I share about George Mueller this morning. He accomplished great things. But why I use him as an example this morning is how he did those great things. How he went about living his life. How he intended to die to himself. When George got the call to be a pastor, and he worked in one church for a while before he went to Bethesda, and I told you about the whole pew thing and getting paid, he had a real problem with that. And so he quit taking a salary. He wouldn't be paid anymore. And the whole time that he worked at Bethesda, he wouldn't collect the money for the pews. And then when he decided to start an orphanage, he had a total of 50 cents in his pocket. he and his wife decided to start having orphans in their home. And that grew and grew to where he had the five buildings that were worth millions of dollars, full of orphans. The orphans never went hungry. George was known as a man of faith and of prayer. He never once solicited funds for the orphan ministry. He never once told people, I have this need or that need. But when he died to himself and started living to Jesus, his faith grew and was immense. And so he would simply just pray and trust that God would provide for him. And there were points when he'd get all the orphans, they sit down at the breakfast table, and he still wouldn't have an idea where they were going to get that morning's breakfast. And he would start praying. And as he prayed, he'd get a knock on the door. And there'd be a milk truck outside that had just broken down and wasn't going to be able to deliver all its milk before it spoiled. And so they just donate it to the orphanage. And countless, time after time, those are the kind of things that happen. But you see, that's how it is when you intend to die, when you intend to follow Jesus. God first moved towards us. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. But now, He allows that choice to be ours. He allows us to enact our own will. In His goodness, He allows us to join Him in the process. And so we have that choice, and as we choose to move towards God, He moves back towards us. And He gives us the grace, and He gives us the faith to start becoming that transformed person, to start tasting heaven now. He'll take you through the wrenching experience of dying. But He will be faithful to bring you out on the other side. And so what I want to end with this morning is a question. Are you intending to die? Are you intending to obey? Will. We all have a will. It's our choice how we're going to use it. Can you say with George Mueller, to an entire and full surrender of the heart, I gave myself fully to the Lord. Honors, pleasures, money, my physical powers, my mental powers, all were laid down at the feet of Jesus. And I became a great lover of the Word of God. What are you leaving this morning? What are you moving to? What is God calling you to die to? What desires are you still holding on to that are keeping you from joining Him in His mission? What are your fears? What is it this morning that you're scared to give up? What comforts are you holding on to? Is it affluence? Have you bought into the American dream? The consumerism mentality of I have to work this much so I can afford that much, and now that I have that much, I have to work more to continue to afford it. And the vicious cycle that that is. Some of you guys calling right now to quit your job because it's keeping you from doing what He wants you to do. Some of you want to quit your job, and God's calling you to stay in it. and to engage the people around you. Others of you have boyfriends or girlfriends that you're loving more and you're putting more into them than you are into your relationship with God. And God's calling you to end those relationships. Those of you who are married and want to leave, I have news for you. If you're married, it's God's will that you stay. And you need to start dying to yourself and loving your spouse the way that Jesus loves you. Others of you this morning, God's burdening you right now that what you need to die to, what you need to give up, is your security, your safety, maybe in America. Maybe God's calling you to go overseas, to literally go to the ends of the earth. Will you go? Some of you, God's calling to full-time ministry. Will you do that? Some of you are in full-time ministry, and God's calling you to get out of that and to go get a job out in the world where you can talk and love on people. What is it that you need to die to? What is it that you need to choose to give up? Some of you here this morning have never even made a decision to start following Jesus. And now maybe you're even less sure that that's something that you want to do. May God's tugging at your heartstrings this morning and just challenging you with the fact that you've never found happiness in your ideas and in your worldview. He's saying, will you give those up and come follow me? Will you allow the gospel to become real in your life and to transform you? Intention is deciding to achieve the vision. You cannot be who you are not becoming. Intention is enacting the will and deciding or choosing to become who you want to be. That means dying to who you are. You will never become like Jesus until you first choose to do so. Jesus is not in the business of forcing. He wants your heart. He wants your all. He wants you to decide. Intention. To follow Jesus, we must intend to die. Please just bow your heads in prayer and just take a moment of silence just to seek God, and Curtis is going to come up and lead us into communion.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information about Coram Deo, visit our website at cdomaha.com.